This is the Business Storytelling Show, a top global marketing podcast listened to in more than 100 countries, live streamed on social media, and broadcast on DBTV. Christoph Trapp chats with industry leaders to help your company tell better business stories. Here's today's episode.
Hey, 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 business storytellers, episode 653. We're going to talk about branded search. And depending on where you're watching, looks like everything is down today. So we're not winning. We are streaming to LinkedIn and YouTube is definitely working. So if you somehow see this message, that happens in the live streaming world. But of course, you can listen wherever you want to on the podcast channels as well. So let's talk about branded search. Jason Barnhart was on the show, I don't even know when, hundreds of episodes ago, and I invited him back on because the thing I wanted to find out is how do you actually increase branded search? And of course, branded search, you know, like, I mean, for me, it would be just Christoph Trapp, or for the growth marketing firm I work for, GrowGetter, growgetter.io, but how do you actually increase it? How do you drive up those searches? I don't know. Let's find out. So I see people are tuning in. So we are, it seems like it's working. So I'm going to stop focusing on that and focus on the topic and Jason at hand here. Jason, welcome back.
Hi, Christoph.
Nice to see you again. Always appreciate you coming back on. And we'll throw up your website here at the bottom as well. But kind of give me an overview. Like why, first of all, why does it matter to increase branded search, and how do you do it?
Right. Well, I would like to start by saying thank you for having me back. I'm astonished at the number of episodes you've done. And when you can say Jason Barnhart was on hundreds of episodes ago, that must feel really good. Now, to answer the question, why is it important? I think because I come from the SEO world, people would expect me to say it's super important for Google, which of course it is, but I would focus on your audience. If people are searching a brand name, they're bottom of funnel. They're really interested in what you have to offer, whether you're a person or a company. So I would focus on the idea that the more people search for your brand name or your personal name, the better you're going to be doing business because more people ready to buy are engaged with you and searching for you. Secondly, within the relatively small world of SEO and Google, the more Google sees your relevant audience searching your name or your personal name, the more Google understands that you are important to that cohort of its users, the cohort, the group of people that you can relevantly and helpfully serve. And that's a huge, huge, huge signal to Google that you are an important member or a leading member of your market.
You know, what's interesting to me about that point too is, I mean, you see those all the time, right? Like even if I'm just picking on my own name, Christoph Trapp and whatever many searches a month. And then you see people also search for these people. And then sometimes on their pages, I show up and sometimes I don't. And it's like a whole different set of cohorts, I guess. So it's kind of interesting to see. But, you know, when we create content, so for example, the first time you were on the show and that show, an article ranked quite well for a while for branded search. Maybe it still does. Maybe it doesn't. I don't actually know. But we wrote about that topic specifically. Yeah.
At Calicube, we know we have a tracking tool called Calicube Pro, and it tracks my name and Calicube's name, and your episode still pops up because it's so topically relevant. So when people search Calicube or Jason Barnhart, it pops up because you're an important member of this community, and therefore Google trusts you to be talking about something that is hugely interesting and helpful. And number two, we talked about something that is absolutely right on the nail topically for both me, Jason Barnhart, and my company, Calicube.
And see, but I know how to do that, right? I know. I grew up in journalism. I know how to, hey, Jason, let's talk about this topic. Why? Well, number one, I see there's search potential. Number two, it's interesting. I want to learn something. Number three, other people have asked me about it. I don't know the answer. So let's find out. But what I don't know at all, and maybe the answer is as simple as you got to build the brand, you got to do traditional kind of things. But how do I increase the search volume for Christoph Trapp or a company name or a product name? I mean, what are some proven strategies when it comes to that, if that makes sense?
Yeah, it does. And it's a great question, because it leads me to immediately say it's a holistic global strategy that you need. It's not a piecemeal strategy with one or two pieces that you can build incredibly well and other pieces that you can't build well. You need to build an overall strategy that's aimed at getting your brand name in front of the right people at the right time. And somebody said to me the other day, attention is the new currency. So online, if you can grab attention, or even offline for that matter, if you can grab attention, then you can potentially sell. If you don't gather that attention, you cannot sell, convert, get whatever result you want from the people you're trying to talk to. So the first thing is to grab attention. Not grab in an aggressive sense, but make sure that people are paying attention to you. And that involves basically standing where your audience is looking, making sure that your brand and your brand message is available, easily available, and very visible to the people that you can helpfully serve. So grab attention, brand that attention. So when you get the attention, you need to make sure that your brand name is clearly visible, and it is very, very obvious that it is your brand name. Number two, if you can create curiosity around your brand, people will Google your brand. So those are the first two reasons. Number one, get the attention and make sure it's branded. Number two, create curiosity, which will encourage people to brand your name. And the third one is the incredibly obvious idea of asking people to Google your brand name. If you ask people to do something, especially if they're your relevant audience, then they probably will. So you can encourage people to search not only your brand name, you were talking about expanding the branded query pool. You can ask them or encourage them to Google or search for your brand plus another word, your brand plus reviews, your brand plus a product name, your brand plus a topic. So Jason Barnard CaliCube is a branded search for both Jason Barnard and CaliCube. Jason Barnard SEO would link me to the topic of SEO. Jason Barnard branded search would link me to branded search. And as you can immediately see, when people are searching those related terms, Google will understand that I am very helpful to people who are interested in branded search, and it links the two together incredibly powerfully. And that's all to do with the topicality of each individual brand. So from the perspective of where you are today, stand where your audience is looking with your brand name clearly visible, generate curiosity, and suggest to them, encourage them to Google your brand name and related terms.
You know, as I'm listening to you talk about that, the one thing that comes to my mind, so my name is pretty uncommon, especially, you know, North American marketers, right? Yeah. I mean, yeah, Christopher or Chris, whatever. But like my full name, I mean, so I got that going for myself at the very least, right? Whether people can remember it or not. But talk about the how memorable does a brand name need to be? And I can't think of an example right now, but some brand names, they're just like, they're not memorable. You can't remember it. So does that actually help in branded search, that it's something people know how to spell? Oh, here's the one example. So Kia, the car, they rebranded their logo, right? And it looks like a KN. So now there is a ton of search for the KN car, which I don't care how you turn it. That is not a branded search that they would want, is my guess. But how do you, I mean, right? Like they're not the KN car, they're Kia. So how important is it to come up with a name or a product name that people can actually search for and find?
Yeah. Well, incredibly important. And that's a great, great example. And that's one of the things that at CaliCube we can help our clients with, is when they make that kind of mistake or judgment error, should we call it, we can help to correct that after the event, because we understand how people search, how Google understands the way that people search, and how Google represents a brand, whether people have understood it or not. And in this case, they haven't understood it. And Google will see that it's the same thing, and it will be able to make that match. So in terms of Google, at least, that problem is not as big as it might appear. But in terms of corporate image, it's obviously a problem. Your name doesn't have an E on the end, and I'm part French, part English, so I would expect there to be an E on the end. So for me, that's immediately confusing, so I would be likely to misspell your name. It could start with a K. It could have an F instead of a PH. All of these things are possibilities for misspellings, which means you actually need to put the name on screen so people see it and hope they remember it. Caddycube has the problem that some people think it's spelt with a C, at the beginning. Not something I thought about, not the biggest problem in the world, but definitely a reason I would want to buy the domain name Caddycube, CalicuBE.pro, for example. So you need to account for the misspellings. Google can handle it, but it creates additional complication that needs to be sorted out both at the communication level and at Google's understanding level. And at Caddycube, we help clients with both of those, i.e. we can help them to educate Google about these misspellings and educate Google how to handle these misspellings, and also help brands to make sure that that misspelling doesn't happen as much as it would otherwise happen, as long as their message and their branding is clear and consistent across their entire digital ecosystem. So coming up with an original name that is easy to spell is the number one top ideal solution. Very rarely happens at the end of the day. For brands in particular, it's not something people think about when naming a company. For a person, you obviously have the problem that your name was given to you at birth, and you're going to share it with a lot of different people. The misspelling in your case, or the advantage of having a unique name, is perhaps outweighed by the fact that people might misspell it. And the fact of having a very common or popular name has the disadvantage of ambiguity. So whatever your name is as a person, your personal branding, brand name searches are always going to be problematic. And as a corporation, the choice of the name of the company is significantly more important than it used to be when the world was purely offline back in the 60s, 70s, and 80s, and even the 90s.
So when I search for Christoph Trapp with the E at the end, I still show up. Doesn't have too many monthly searches, so I'm not too worried about it, but I do show up for that. Now, when you search for Chris Trapp, it's a whole different story. It's quite the mess. There's people showing up. I guess because Chris, right, that's more like the shorter you make it, the chances, like if it's a common name, the chances that there's more people probably increases, I guess. That's probably what's going on. The longer you make the name, the fewer chances there are. But when it comes to prioritizing, so I spend a lot of time, what let's call it topical SEO, right? Mm-hmm. I want to rank for whatever topic, I want to rank for whatever. And let's say in my SEO work, that is 90% of my work, and then maybe branded search 10%, maybe even less. Maybe I'm being very generous here. What is the right mix? And I know you guys work on branded search, but let's be real about it. Like, it should be more than just a couple percent, right? So like, what's the right mix, and how do I figure out how to make that all work?
Right. Well, I love the question, and there are potentially two starts to this answer. I'm going to start with the worst one first. It depends, which is the most hated answer you can possibly give. The other is slightly better, but not much better, is how long is a piece of string? There is no immediate answer. However, because the answer would be different for each individual company, each individual market, depends on the market itself, the audience, what your strategy is as a brand. But what we found with the Caddycube process, and the Caddycube process is the solution to digital marketing, where we've come in with data, analyze the data from Google to understand what your digital marketing strategy should be as a corporation or a person. And we've realized that if we boil the whole strategy that we have developed using the Caddycube process into, let's just go out looking for branded search, how can we maximize the volume of branded search, both the brand name and branded terms? We can build the entire strategy around purely the brand. And the reason that's so powerful is because by doing that, you're building from the bottom of the funnel to the top all of the content that you need to communicate with your audience, which means you're focusing on the bottom of funnel, the people most important, the most likely to convert, and building upwards in the funnel to the people that you're now bringing in from the curiosity stage, let's say. And all of it is based on brand. And as you build out that funnel of content that is relevant and helpful to your audience, you're building topicality on top of the brand instead of trying to attach the topicality to the brand after the event. So you're building the brand and topicality is baked in. And that's hugely powerful because then you don't need to even ask the question you were just asked. Which now I think about it was quite a rude answer. I'm sorry.
I didn't think it was rude at all. It's just, I was just thinking about, now I forgot my follow-up question. Oh, you know, okay, fine. Maybe that's the answer. How's that for rude? I'm just kidding. It's all good. We're good. But it's a fine line too, right? So like yes. I see companies and like, it's kind of like this. So when I write an article and I say, here's how you do a podcast launch, blah, blah, blah. And there is a process, and process links to my landing page on hiring me to help you launch a podcast, yeah. for example. That is like completely embedded. Like I'm not being pushy. I'm not over salesy. But if I put stuff in there like, the best way to launch your podcast is to work with Christoph Trapp because he's done a gazillion episodes, blah, 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 blah. So like, where's that fine line to have the branded part and the informational piece and tie it all together? Do you know what I mean?
I do. And it's a very, very, very good point is I think what we all tend to do is to think, well, I need to say it all at once. And in fact, the effect of brand and the boost in branded search that you get is cumulative from mentioning the brand time and time and time again, but not all in a row in the same place in every touch point that your audience are going to be. So it's not so much a question of say your brand, say your brand, say your brand, say your brand. It's be consistent about making sure that your brand name is visible and if possible audible every time your audience comes across you, whether it be on this podcast, on an article I've written, on a LinkedIn post, on my LinkedIn profile, on my Facebook profile, in an article on Forbes. Drip, 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 drip. You'll get that branded search volume increase.
Yeah, I think sometimes, depending on what industry you're in, the drip, drip, drip is really, really hard for people because
yes.
we're so much in the first quarter, right? We're so much in the we need results today. And when people like yeah. even people say that to me about podcasting, right? Episode 653, was this podcast a success after episode 20? Probably not. You know, 30, I don't know, maybe. So you kind of have to keep going and stay top of mind for people.
That's a really, really good point. Excuse me to interrupt, but I just thinking about I was saying drip, 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 and it's very easy to say, and I know how unhelpful that is. And when people are looking for the short-term results, and that is part of the entire problem for me of digital marketing, is it's often seen as the simple, quick, easy, huge win, especially SEO. And it's just like business offline. It's building and building and building your audience, your customer, your client base on a brand message that's incredibly clear, on marketing materials that make sense to your audience, and feeding that over a period of time and trying to put the cart in front of the horse, I think we can say. Trying to do it all the wrong way around by trying to sell immediately when you engage with somebody is not going to work long term. If you want to build a long term business, you need to build it brick by brick, and you need that patience. So I agree, but at the end of the day, there isn't really a choice. But what you can remember is each time you build a brick, if you name your brand, if you mention your brand without being heavy-handed, as you rightly say, that will build into the huge, wonderful, strong mansion. I was going to say house, but we'll go for mansion.
I mean, mansion sounds good to me. but it does certainly take time. So the other thing I was kind of thinking about as I was watching you build that mansion brick by brick, is what happens if you get the branding wrong? And I know we're talking about search, but I also like if you have to change your brand along the way, like, I mean, now you have to build like what? You have to tear down the mansion and build a new one next door? Or how does that work?
No, but when you said, what if you get the brand wrong when you've built your mansion, I actually got goosebumps. It scared me, and it suddenly made me think, oh, what a terrible, terrible situation. But at the same time, I thought, wow, this is an amazing opportunity for me and CaliCube, simply because that's exactly one thing we can help you with, which is a rebrand. Once you've built your mansion, either means taking the entire mansion down and then rebuilding it, or finding all of the resources that talk about the brand and going around and changing them all one by one manually as fast as you possibly can. And that is what HeadyQ Pro, the platform, does, is it will compile a list prioritized in terms of what's important to your audience and what's important to Google to go around and correct every single mention of your brand so that you change the brand name in a couple of weeks, maybe, instead of several years. And we have clients who come to us who have had a brand name change, and 2 years after the event, there are still hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of mentions of the old brand name, which confuses your audience, first and foremost, but confuses Google, secondly, and will ruin your SEO efforts over time. So being able to correct it incredibly quickly is incredibly important for your audience and for Google. And we saw the best example I've ever seen is when Facebook changed to Meta, and it took them an afternoon. That was a phenomenal piece of work. I don't like Facebook very much. I don't like Mark Zuckerberg particularly, but that was a phenomenally well-executed rebranding. And after that happened, we decided to try rebranding my podcast, and it took us 2 days, which is pretty fast. And in 2 days, Google's representation of my podcast changed completely from one title to the other. And that, for a company, is absolutely essential. You can't afford to waste time because it will confuse your audience and it will confuse Google, and potentially you can lose a lot of business. And I'll give you an example of a company who did that very badly. Sendinblue renamed to something that I can't even remember. And they lost 30% of all their SEO traffic overnight because it took them so long to actually update all of the references to the original brand name.
It's just interesting that, you know, all these things go together, so you can't actually work in a vacuum. And I think that's one of the things I was thinking about earlier too, is you have to kind of, like, I mean, maybe even work with the branding team, right? Even if you're the in charge of the website or SEO, you certainly have to work with the brand team as well. As many of you know, I am a Washington Commanders fan. I actually have a little helmet you can barely see back there. And of course, they rebranded to Washington, from Washington Redskins to Washington Commanders a little bit ago here. And even today, years later, there's still 74,000 monthly searches for Washington Redskins. That is just crazy to me. 1.5 million a month for Washington Commanders. Jason, really appreciate you coming on the show. Really quickly, if you want to tell us as we wrap it up here, DME, what's going on with DME? Where is that? What is that? And then who should reach out to you? Who should work with you? That kind of thing. Really appreciate you coming back on the show.
Brilliant. Thank you, Christoph. DME is Digital Marketing Europe. That's in Lithuania in a week and a half. It's a conference, an SEO digital marketing conference, and it's absolutely brilliant. We will be there with CuddyCube. I will be talking about how to master search generative experience, Google search generative experience, which is the generative AI version of Google search, with skills you already have, whether you're a digital marketer, a marketer, or an SEO professional. And in terms of reaching out to us, the best way to reach out to Jason Barnard is to search my name, JasonBarnard, or search CaliCube, my company, KalicuBe, which will increase our branded search by perhaps 50 people in the next couple of weeks, the 50 people who watched this and chose to search CaliCube, KalicuBe, which is being a bit heavy-handed, but why not? And the people who we can help are people who are looking to boost their brand, personal brand or company brand, and weave it into a digital marketing strategy that makes sense to them, to their audience, and to the generative AI machines that are coming, Google, Bing, ChatGPT, Perplexity. Safeguard, bulletproof, your branded search digital strategy for the future.
Thanks for tuning in. Please rate and review The Business Storytelling Show on your favorite podcast platform and subscribe so you don't miss the next episode. See you then!